We're gonna play on and stand strong. It's Dodo and Dibs, turn the game on. Bump up the volume, it's time to play ball. It's Dodo and Dibs, turn the game on.
Good morning, happy Monday, welcome to Joe Lowe and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game. We have got Monday Night Football tonight. San Francisco 49ers hosting the New York Giants. It cannot be as bad as some of the football. I'm sorry, I didn't see the gigantic tear in the middle of your shirt.
Oh, you didn't see that?
I did
that
not
earlier.
See that this morning. I had a whole
the
thing
Hulk,
worked
baby.
Up here.
The
I'm looking
Hulk.
Across. I complimented him this morning. I said he's looking huge after his workout.
Yeah, you
I did not realize there was a rip the size of Lake Erie. Right across the belly
coming
there.
Kind of like sure. The Hulk there.
It's kind of like a giant chasm, and inside is just a mess of sweat.
Ventilation.
And
whoa. Wow. That's enough. Happy to see you guys. I love you guys
No.
He's like, no.
This isn't going to work for me. I can't look directly at that for the next 4 hours. There you
got
go.
Shirt.
Tie a towel around it or something. Anywho, welcome to the show.
Button?
It is great to have you with us. Brandon Tierney, a blast from the 95.7 Game Pass, coming up in 29 minutes. First question out of the gate for him. Is Eli Manning a Hall of Famer? That's something we'll get into a little bit today. Jerry Rice, of course, will join us at 8 o'clock. Jeff Schwartz at 8:30. Matt Barrows at 9:30. Plenty to get to today. It's great to see everyone. Everyone's looking good, feeling good. I'm making that up. This guy's got a shirt torn. You look like you're getting sick. It's a mess.
Yeah,
it's a real mess.
You know, it's tough to complain when you know what's going on in the northernmost part of the state, but the smoke is definitely eating me up a little bit, all of us. And I actually caught myself about 5 times over the weekend because you look outside and you start feeling crappy. And you're like, man, smoke is eating me up. And
California's
then you take a step back and, you realize.
Southern just, California and northern.
It's
really sad.
It's terrible.
Really sad. Terrible. PG&E, one of those, little campfire that unfortunately one of the poles sparked that. It's crazy how some of these things.
I mean, what do you do
deep
though?
Here? Look at us Monday morning.
You just shut the power off across
the
state. You know?
No,
let's really get this class action lawsuit going at 6:02 on a Monday morning. That does lead into an interesting question though. Tonight, no, don't apologize. Tonight at Levi's, this game's going to be played in Northern California. Now we saw the game yesterday in Los Angeles. The Rams taking care of business against the Seattle Seahawks. Great football game. But they were able to play. The Raiders were able to play yesterday with an air quality, according to Matt Barrows, of 159. I don't really know what that means. It's not supposed to be good. But yesterday, at the same time in San Jose, it was 110, which is much, much better. So tonight, we shouldn't have any concerns, right? We're probably going to see a football game at Levi's.
Yeah, unfortunately, Joe, it should be more concerns than what it is, than what they're taking precaution. I remember playing down in San Diego, and I think you guys remember those big fires that was there. And we had didn't go to Arizona. And couldn't play at home because of the fire and the air quality was bad. And that was interesting to see.
That was against Miami.
Yes.
You went to Arizona to play that game.
Yes.
My first year of law school, 3 weeks in, we got a whole week off because of those fires.
Absolutely.
It was crazy because I was in San Diego that same week.
Why
down there
hello?
For
what were you
for
doing
a golf
there?
Course.
We were both being very successful.
Yeah,
what were you doing
I was
there?
Down there to play Torrey Pines South, actually.
Must be
a little,
nice.
Little golf course in Torrey Pines, but it turns out I didn't play because
the
fires were so bad that the course was closed.
It's I tough ended up, beat.
Well, I played Coronado twice. I played 36 of Coronado, which. Coronado was open.
One of the underrated public courses in this great country. One of the most underrated.
I played great. I could walk you through my card, but I know we don't have time for that right now.
Interest.
Quite frankly.
Not just time. Interest also lacking as well.
Wow.
Great golf course, though. So you're able to play there, but you weren't able to play up at Torrey because
guess,
the smoke was much
exactly,
worse.
Exactly. Where the fire was and all that.
6:03, but, no football yet? Interesting.
Well, air quality, PG&E.
Yeah.
Kids' is golf game.
Your rip shirt.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what kind of started the whole thing. Multiple rips, too.
Yeah.
Don't point the fingers at us. You come in with a rip shirt, we comment on it, you get mad at us.
You can't see it right
it's
now.
It's America in 2018, is what that is.
It really is.
But
really,
any concerns about this tonight? Do the players have to take precautions? Do you do anything differently?
I don't think you do anything differently. I think there will be probably the oxygen on the sideline. I think that the biggest thing is just there's a lot of people throughout America and throughout California with heavy hearts. And, you know, all the Ram players, 45 different players or staff members were evacuated in those different areas. So it's interesting just to see how guys are able to put that aside for those 60 minutes and still go out to play and play at a high level. So here you're still going to have a lot lot of people. You saw, even with the Raiders and Chargers, it affected both Northern California and Southern California, but they still were able to go out and play a game. And now tonight, you still have a lot of guys that are being affected. Even though it's in Santa Clara, there's people that in this county and the state that's still being affected. So it's just awesome that guys are still able to go out there and play and give the fans what they desire, and that's good for competitive football. So
the year was 2003 when you got hit with that. You're with the Chargers. You're supposed to play the Dolphins.
Yep.
Was it originally scheduled for Monday, or did you get pushed to Monday?
We got pushed to Monday. And not just
Sunday game that got moved to Monday and to Arizona.
Yes,
you played in Arizona.
We flew out that week, and we stayed in practice in Arizona for that whole week because of the weather.
You didn't have the Twins at this point, right?
No, we did not.
Because my question was going to be the distraction level that comes in. When you're talking about evacuations, when your schedule and your routine gets disrupted for something as tragic as this, how much does that get into the mind? How much does that affect the game plan, so to speak?
You know what? With that situation, actually, the grandma was already there, so we had someone staying there because it was twins. So grandma was there. But I thought the organizations, I think that every organization do a great job. When there's a tragedy like that, they do have services and people around to be able to help, because the last thing you want is your players to be able to leave town, go out of town, and not know about their family, because then you feel like you're leaving your families, and a lot of guys wouldn't go if they didn't know that there would be adequate amount of help for their loved ones left behind.
Reasonable expectations for Nick Mullins tonight. He steps under center for his second career start. We're all very excited by what we saw against the Raiders about 11 days ago. Tonight, different story. You've had plenty of time to prepare. You've known you're going to be the guy for quite some time. Here come the New York Giants, hungry for a win as well. Off the bye, plenty of time to prepare. As a fan, tonight going into this game, and we'll give you your three things to watch at 7:45, what's a reasonable expectation to have towards Nick Mullins?
I think it's 250 yards, and really just one turnover is all you're going to, not allow him, quote-unquote, but that's what you're looking for, is a one-turnover game. If it's a fumble or an interception, I think that's an appropriate level. You're going to be down a couple of weapons, most likely. Pierre Garçon is probably not going to go, so
he's been ruled out. He's out, Foster's out, and Tart's out.
So offensively, that hurts you because you're down a weapon and a guy who actually you were the one to discover against the Raiders. Garçon's only touchdown came from Nick Mullins, so that hurts. But I think having this much run-up to your second start, you can raise the expectation a little bit.
If you're Joe Staley, if you're one of the veteran presences, what are you saying to Nick Mullins getting ready for tonight?
I think the biggest thing to Nick Mullins, I think, throughout that locker room is, do you stay within you? We trust that you're going to make the right decisions. Don't try to go out there and do anything else. Play within yourself, and your best is good enough. We don't need you to be Aaron Rodgers-S. We don't need you to be Tom Brady-S. We need you, Nick, to play within yourself, and we'll be fine. And this whole team, their whole thing is like, guys, band together, start fast. Hey, guys, we're going to give you time. We're going to protect you. His message for veteran offensive linemen to say, make him feel confident. Hey, look, I got these guys up front. They understand what's going on. We are going to protect you. You just know that we got your back. Give him that sense of confidence that he knows that he doesn't have to worry about all the different pressures. He's going to just have to worry about looking downfield, throwing the ball. We're going to say, we're going to keep you clean. And guys, quarterbacks especially, when their offensive linemen feel that way and they're telling you that, hey, you got time, you're going to be okay, that exudes confidence in the quarterback. So I think that's the main thing. His main thing is like, we're going to keep you clean. Stay within yourself. You got this.
You know what I'd say? I'd pull him aside quietly. I'd say, Nick, remember, could always be worse. We could be the New York Jets.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. How about that game yesterday? How's Todd Bowles still have a job? Buffalo, with a guy who hasn't played in 2 years, shows up on your home turf and hangs 40-plus in a blowout?
Blowout.
You're a touchdown favorite. Forget about covering the number to get blown out like that. And again, this speaks to how poorly some of these teams build. Why did you let Todd Bowles get his hands on Sam Darnold? You're going to fire the guy after the season. So now Darnold is going to enter year two with another head coach in a new system. Two systems, 2 years. And not only that, you're limiting your pool to coaches who want to coach Darnold. There might be a guy who looks at him and says, I can't win with this guy. Pass. I don't want the job. Same thing in Cleveland. Why do teams insist on doing this? Why do you insist on keeping these lame duck coaches, drafting new quarterbacks, parting ways with the guy? Derek Carr, dealing with 20 different coordinators in 20 different years. It's unbelievable. This is why every year when I tell you, you're not competing against 31 other teams. There are a handful of teams that are going to pack it in as soon as the season even starts. The Jets are one of them. It's unbelievable.
And you've got the Tampa Bay team that's probably going to fire their coach. You've got a Detroit team that made the wrong decision on their head coach, and their future looks bleak. So as you look at these two teams here tonight, the Niners and the Giants, you see a Giants team that's going to undergo some change, whether it's at the quarterback position or elsewhere. You don't feel so bad about San Francisco if you're a Niner fan because you don't have the same level of dysfunctionality.
You at least got a team that's going to show up and compete. Tonight, you know the Niners are going to try to win this game. They might not, but at the very least, they're going to show up with a plan. The plan is going to be somewhat reasonable, and they'll have a chance to execute it against the Giants. Now, we'll have plenty more on this throughout the show. Brandon Tierney returns to 95.7 The Game in about 20 minutes at 6:30. But we got to get into the news that surfaced over the weekend regarding the Warriors. Question one. Did you see Kevin Durant at Chase Center on Friday? What's that mean for his future? Question two, now that Jimmy Butler's landing with the Sixers, who are you most interested in seeing in the NBA Finals should the Warriors get back? 888-957-9570, Joe Lo and Dibs, 95.7 The Game.
Joe Lo and Dibs continues on Monster Monday. Brought to you by Oaks Card Club, FH Daily Chevrolet, and Benjamin Moore Paints.
All right, so help me out. We did not get an opportunity to talk about this on Friday. It happened after the show had ended. Kevin Durant, seen down at Chase Center in the hard hat, the construction boots, taking a tour with some other dignitaries. He looked good.
Yeah.
Didn't really look like a construction worker, but we're close to Halloween enough, so yeah, it'll fly.
7 foot up.
Yeah.
Construction worker.
Reach up there and install this light for me, please.
Yeah, we don't need the ladder. Kitty.
All right. But this naturally got everyone very excited. Well, if KD's taking a tour of Chase Center, he obviously plans to play there. And he said afterwards, he had some comment about, man, my imagination's running wild looking at this place. So you see this, naturally we have to react. We have to react. Does it mean anything? The fact that Kevin Durant is down at Chase Center taking a tour of a building that opens next year, a year some speculate in which he will not be a part of the Golden State Warriors, does that mean anything? Can we let our imaginations run wild?
Yes, we can, and it means everything. It means everything I've been saying all along, which is Kevin Durant's not leaving. And this pretty much locks it up, pretty much just puts the whole thing to bed. Any other discussion about him possibly leaving, he was there. It's not even done yet, and he was touring the facility, hard hat and all. He actually rented work boots, size 18.
Wow.
He had to find his own work boots to make sure he was safe for his future home. So,
how many people actually work in construction or need work boots in size 18? Are there a lot of humans out there with size 18 feet that work in construction?
Say no.
I would say he might be the first ever to be there.
Are those boots custom made?
Yeah. They'd have to be. My son's a size 14. He's about 6'2", almost 6'3".
It's a big foot.
It's a huge foot.
Feet.
And that guy's got giant feet. And then you think about size 18. It's even bigger, and I know how hard it is to get Quest his shoes at size 14, let alone a size 18 work boot.
What's Little Low got?
Size 15, but he's got those wide. He's got those bare feet. They're so wide.
He's got them Eskimo snowshoes.
Yes. I'm like, dude, you should never fall on the ground.
That's how you anchor.
Right.
Those feet should anchor into the ground, like the when you see a crane getting built at the bottom with the things that come out and they nail him into the ground.
Right.
He should never be on his back.
Yeah, but he is.
Quick digression. He played pretty well, even though they got motorboated. Offensively, they had nothing against Minnesota in the gentle snow. Your boy looked pretty good, though, especially in the first half. He was making plays.
Yeah, he did all right. He did all right, but they did get motored. And then they got voted.
Really, no way to follow up on that. It's pretty well said.
Yeah. No, but, Joe, that's the one thing I love about Mr. Daniel Dibley. Dibbsy's, he's a fine guy, and his imagination, I was still watching it every now and then. It was flicking through the stations and Barney. Just imagine. And they sing all kinds of things with Barney. And Dibs kind of reminds me sometimes of those things. Just imagine if Kevin Durant's here and the things he said. Because he said, oh, yeah, for sure. I played in Tennessee. We built that stadium. And we put the hard hats on and they showed a tour of the place. And guess what? There were guys that weren't there the following year. It happens. I know we can imagine those things. There's a place that there's a team here in Oakland that we know where they're going in a couple of years. And there's been guys that flew over to Vegas, some big name guys, and thought they were going to, but just imagine they're not. They're already gone. Haven't even left yet. So I think it would be a little bit of premature to just say, evidently, just to automatically say it's a foregone conclusion.
It's locked, Coach. It's locked up. Oh. Even your cute little Tennessee story and your Vegas tale, it's apples and oranges. Kevin Durant was
you
there.
You two seem to be not only in different churches, different religions.
Absolutely.
Completely. Different gods. I mean, I don't know who he's worshiping to, but I'm worshiping at the foot of Lake of Nguba right now. And I can tell you this. You don't tour a building under construction when you are the one with the control. And he controls his own destiny. So I think that puts to bed this whole KD's leaving narrative once and for
well,
all.
Let me ask this. And a little bit to play devil's advocate here, but if he's offered the opportunity to go tour, it looks far worse if he says no, does it not? Like, if you find out that, KD, you want to go tour the new Chase Center, man, I'm not going to be playing there, no. Now all of a sudden people are running wild. That's where people truly go wild. You have to say yes to this whether you're coming back or not. That's the way I see it. You go over there, it's part of your duties as a member of the team, it's a good look, everyone gets excited, it's probably part of the recruitment pitch, take a look. The house that Kevin Durant built, and also Stephen Clay and Draymond right. and everybody else.
Sure.
Lake of Nguba's private money, which is fantastic. But
Quinn, Jordan, Kevon, and the rest.
Shout out to Quinn Cook against Brooklyn.
Monster game.
Yeah, huge night.
He's balling.
How about that?
Yeah.
Opportunity's never lost.
Just giving to someone else.
You know, you could look at Steph and you could say, do we have a Wally Pipp situation here?
Could be.
Can you move Steph at the deadline? Bring in an Anthony Davis.
He picked up just where Steph left off. I mean, 28, the guy played well.
Is Steph a system point guard?
Oh, wow.
Man,
like
the
Brady is a system quarterback.
Ooh. Is the back end of the Steph deal the worst possible contract, you know?
It's an unmovable deal now that everyone sees he's a system guy.
He plays better defense. Whoa. 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 Too early, too fast.
And you're going to need Durant back.
Yeah.
If, yikes. This one really.
It really
that was
did.
Deep.
Very fast, deep right too. There. Very quick. Yes. But it's tremendous. The thing about it is when you're talking about what does fans need to take this as KD's coming back? No, this is a situation, Joe, that you think that KD would say, you know what? Oh, guys, take me there. I imagine someone drove him. I imagine the team took him. I imagine he just didn't say, okay, I'm driving over here to go look at this facility. This is something that some of the times you do certain situations, players owe their duty. Maybe the team goes as a collective and go look. It would be very shocking if KD said, oh, I'm just driving over. Hey guys, I'm driving over. I want to go see the new stadium. Come on, coach. You got too many other things to do. You don't have enough time in a day. There's already everyone's pulling on you, want you for everything. You know that, Dibs. He ain't just going to say, oh, I just want to go drive and see the stadium. Can you guys set me up a tour? No.
And they had to get the size 18 work boots,
thank
as mentioned
you.
Before. And
it's,
I
have,
you know, of
course, those weren't just laying around, I'd have to.
Right,
No. You probably had to call ahead and you probably had to arrange for the whole thing. And you're right about that. And I'm just obviously playing around that this seals the deal that he's in fact staying. But
of course.
It does, as a Warrior fan and as someone who really hopes that he sticks around for the long haul, it's a great visual seeing him out there in what you hope is going to be his future home. So, yeah, it's easy for me to let my imagination run wild and think, yeah, he's coming back, and he's going to be here for good.
Slightly personally offended that you come into my neighborhood, you don't announce yourself.
That's true.
You know?
Right.
You could holler at your boy.
Yeah.
You know? I'm not saying you need permission, but, you know, holler at your boy. I'll give you the nod. Let's treat it like, you know, and, the five boroughs with the five families in New York
if
back in the day with the mob ran things.
If he would have hollered at you, could have made him dinner or something. You probably could have hung out with him.
I got things to do. I don't know if I could fit him into the schedule. I'm just saying, you know, a quick text message. Never hurt anybody.
He could have stopped
by. You got to talk to text now. It's pretty simple.
Yeah. Chubb's at soccer practice. He probably walked right by the field.
Yeah. We got things going on. So I'm not saying, you know, I'm going to fit him in.
But, I got
you. Holler at your boy.
Okay.
The big trade over the weekend, though, as we get back to reality, Jimmy Butler traded from Minnesota to Philadelphia. Now it's Butler and forward Justin Patton heading to Philly in exchange for Bob Covington, Dario Saric, Jared Bayless, and a 2022 second round pick. First question out of the gate. You had four first-round picks on the table, and you passed for this deal. Can someone explain that to me? I thought Houston was offering four first-rounders. By the way, shout-out Houston. They're getting ready to dump Carmelo Anthony.
Yeah.
So that worked out pretty
well. That surprised you, right?
It's November.
12 games in a season.
Daryl Morey, we told you it wasn't going to work.
12 games. How is that we don't even play? We're not GMs. But how can we tell you guys this? And it's 13 games in the season. They're already saying bye-bye. I mean, really?
That thing is broken from the inside out as far as the division in that locker room already.
Yeah, they don't get in the playoffs.
The Warriors broke them. See, this is what happens when people say the Warriors ruin the NBA. This is an example. The Houston Rockets got so close. Big lead, second half, game seven on their court. And they couldn't close. So they panicked. Rather than tweak and adjust, they went out and they made wholesale changes. They lose Ariza. They give Chris Paul a contract. Has anyone seen Chris Paul's numbers this year? Worst of his career. This is the worst season of Chris Paul's career, and there's still 4 years left on that deal.
Ouch. Guaranteed
awful
money.
Awful deal. Bringing in Carmelo Anthony was an awful move, but they panicked. And now Daryl Morey went from right there to this whole thing's going to need to be blown up. That's how quickly it can turn. Shout out the Rockets. Shout out the Jacksonville Jaguars.
I doubt if they really gave Jimmy. I doubt if there was actually 4 first-round picks.
I agree.
I think that was a lie.
Got to figure, right?
Was, of course.
Why would you have turned that down for this? And, I like those guys, but damn.
Exactly. I like the package, though, that they got because Saric is a good player. Covington is a good shooter. And you get a pick in the future. I think it's a good deal for both because Philly got ultimately what they need the most, which is a defensive stopper on that team.
And Timberwolves needed to make this move because they were going to get nothing. It wasn't necessary. I mean, you think about what he's worth more than that, but they knew it's a short-term deal. Jimmy Butler doesn't have much time on that contract. Let him go.
Fact that they got anything.
Right. Yeah. So it was a great, and they still got that knockdown shooter that come from the Clippers that's over there. I love him.
JJ, old JJ Redick.
You know exactly. Okay, I'm
all
sorry.
We'll no, it's okay. We'll get into the breakdown later. Do you want to see the Celtics, the Raptors, the Sixers? Who else is up there? I feel like I'm missing a good one. Huh. Pacers.
You already got the Boston. You already got Toronto in there.
Toronto. There's still one I'm missing.
Washington. Cool. Orlando.
The Bucks. That's it.
Milwaukee.
The Bucks. Thank you, Cody. All right.
The Greek Freak.
Brandon Tierney. Is Eli Manning a Hall of Famer? Are we going to see Hall of Fame quarterback play tonight? Plus a breakdown of everything you need to know. Joe Lowe and Dibs, 95.7 The Game.
Hallelujah. He's a fine guy. And his imagination, to watching Barney. Just imagine.
Joe Lowe and Dibs continues on 95.7 The Game.
Joe Lowe and Dibs, 95.7 The Game. We get set for Brandon Tierney to join us in just a few moments here. Let me ask you this. If you were the owner of an NFL franchise, so this is your money you're spending, I'm going to offer you the following. I'm going to give you a quarterback for about 10 seasons. Right now, we're about 9.5. So you're going to get about 10 seasons of a quarterback. It's going to cost you in total cash $178 million. So you're going to get about 10 years. It's going to cost $178 million. And in exchange for that, you're going to get a 63-71 regular season record. You're going to get a quarterback rating of 88.6. And you're going to get 3 trips to the playoffs, all resulting in losses. Do you take it?
It's a pass for me, Coach. It's too high of a price for a less than 500 winning percentage and no playoff victories. I'm out.
Do you take it?
I'm out.
You're out too? It's Matthew Stafford.
Wow.
Matthew Stafford, as I'm watching that Bears game yesterday, I'm thinking, how much money has this dude made? Total cash he'll be paid by the Lions by the end of this season, $178 million. Yesterday, they couldn't make a play against the Bears. Late, they had a couple garbage plays that made the game look close. It was a cosmetically close game.
I've never liked the guy. I'm just telling you, I'm not sitting here and saying
even Monday morning quarterback. That's Friday afternoon quarterback.
not as a person, but as a player, never liked him. I've been saying the guy's not a winner. He's had good coaches around him. He's had great receivers and all those different things. People say, oh, the defense and the run game, all those different things. He's not a winner. He's not a winner. I want winners.
All right.
I want winners.
Thank you, Coach. Let me ask you this. Matthew Stafford was $178 million total cash by the end of this season. You get a 63-71 record. Quarterback rating of 88.6, 0-3 in the playoffs. Now let me offer you this. 15 seasons, $235 million. $235 million for 15 seasons, 112-110 is the overall record. Do you pay that money for that individual?
Ah, boy, that's a lot of money for mediocrity. I would say no. I wouldn't.
2 games over .500, though.
Right. And I didn't get a playoff resume, so I would wonder if that was any better. 112 and 110 is not very good. That's a pass for me.
You're passing on that. 235 in total cash, 15 seasons.
I would like to hear the rest of the stats like we did for today.
I'm sorry, you're not getting it. You just have that information in a yes or no.
Then I would pass, too.
What if I throw 2 Super Bowls in there?
Then I would say I'm talked to.
That's
Turkey.
Eli Manning.
Yes.
Look at you two. Smelling it out.
No. You realize it's about winning Super Bowl. We understand that.
All right.
We
sniffed it out.
So is he a Hall of Famer?
He will be a Hall of Famer. And I can tell you this, he's not a first ballot Hall of Famer.
Vote him for Hall of Fame? If you only had one opportunity, forget about first ballot. He's either a Hall of Famer or he isn't. What do you say?
He's a Hall of Famer.
All right.
No, he's not a Hall of Famer. He doesn't get the gold jacket because if you just look at that in a vacuum and say, oh, 2 Super Bowl championships, great. But then you look at how those games were won, how those teams became champions, and it was less about him than it was about a terrific defense and an unbelievable helmet catch.
A lot of people say that. And I see what they're getting at with that. But he also made the big play to Plaxico Burress against Asante Samuel for the game-winning touchdown. And people forget, they only look at the Super Bowls. He played very well in the build-up to the Super Bowls. That first one he had to navigate through. It was a road game at Tampa, a road game at Dallas, and then a road game at Lambeau Field against, I think it was Brett Favre back then. 2008? No, that may have been Rodgers.
Rodgers.
Favre. I don't know. But he had to get through those three and then beat the 18-0 Patriots in the Super Bowl, which was what? Arizona, I think they played that one.
Yeah.
So he, granted, you're right, the helmet catch and the defense has played remarkably well, but he was very instrumental in the buildup to get them there. Hall of Famer, though. That's a big question. I can't wait to ask Jerry Rice that at 8 o'clock.
Here's the thing, Joe. Dan Fouts, Hall of Famer. Joe Marino, Hall of Famer. Dan Fouts made the Hall of Fame. If you look at Danny Fouts, loved him growing up. He's got his numbers. You look at Eli. You look at what Eli's had to work with, too. Offensive linemen at times, certain things. Without a doubt, Eli will be in the Hall of Fame. I'm not saying he's a first ballot Hall of Fame, but he's a Hall of Famer.
It's one of the great questions that's out there. And when you're talking about that offensive line, tonight the 49ers should feast. Here's your New York Giants week one offensive line. At left tackle, Nate Solder. Used to play for New England. Gave him a ton of money. This season, he's already given up 6 sacks. He's been popped for 2 holds. He's only played 8 games. Will Hernandez at left guard, rookie. John Jalapio at center. He's got a broken ankle. He's on IR. The right guard, Patrick Omame, was cut after 8 games. They paid him $5.5 million for that. Right tackle, Eric Flowers, first-round pick. He was released after 5 games. Tonight, you got a chance to feast. My question is, given that you got to account for Saquon Barkley and Odell Beckham, and we're going to get to all that at 7 o'clock, how to slow those guys down. Seeing an offensive line like this, one that already stinks but is now loaded with even more replacements, are you only rushing 4 and dropping 7 to help with coverage on Odell Beckham and tight end Evan Engram and the other guys, or are you just bringing the house? You bring in 5, you bring in 6 to get after Eli so he doesn't even have a chance to get the ball down the field.
I think you mix it up, without a doubt. But majority of the time, I'm going 4, and 4 should get home because of the fact Saquon Barkley is a great receiver out of the backfield. So I'm bracket coveraging him, making sure that I got in-and-out coverage on Saquon Barkley, meaning in-and-out coverage, so he's being bracket. So now he can't go in or out. So if he's got that choice route, he goes in, there's a guy there. If he goes out there, so he's going to have to sit down in the middle. So now he's going to have to go, be able to read it on the way out, and just sit and hook up, and now you can close. So I bracket coverage on him. Now you look at Odell Beckham, I can still roll the safety over the top so I can play cover 6 on him. And now you say, okay, 4 or 5 guys, you still can bring 4 and 5 at times in different brackets. Still can bring some stuff from the field. I think it's very, very important, imperative that they bring different blitzes at different times. But for the most, I get home with 4. And these guys up front, they've been hungry. They're feeling good about themselves, especially after the performance they had against the Raiders. These front 4, they ready to eat, Dib.
Again, coming off of a virtual bye, having played Thursday now into a Monday, so it feels like you have enough time to get rest, and you've got rotation players already, and you've mentioned your guy Ronald Blair and Cassius Marsh, guys who were supposed to be the backups. They're getting in there and getting a ton of reps. I'll be interested to see the Eric Armstead, Solomon Thomas show as it pertains to their ability to take advantage of another beleaguered offensive line. They should.
Over under a half, Cassius Marsh roundhouse karate kicks tonight. On the field during the game. Over under a half.
Oh, my God. He's doing it.
You're going to see it tonight, you say?
Absolutely.
You bet it as well?
I'll go under just to make it interesting. I don't think that he'll get the roundhouse kick in. Because if he doesn't get a sack, he's not going to roundhouse kick if Solomon Thomas gets
one. What if it's like a big group sack where he's in late and then he gets up and just does the kick anyway?
He loves showing that kick.
I like that kick. I'd like that kick. If they get beat for a touchdown, show me the kick.
Show me the kick.
Don't care. Just get it
bring
up
the kick out.
Yeah. Wax on, wax off.
It's been a tough season.
Thank you, Daniel.
We want to see the kick.
Yeah. 2 wins and we want to see the kick. Doesn't matter if you win the game tonight. We just want to see the kung fu kick.
If you lose by 40, you better get that kick in there so I have something to talk about tomorrow morning. At least something positive.
That's a pretty good roundhouse.
8 sacks, though. I'll tell you what. If you're Eric Armstead, if you're Solomon Thomas, tonight's the night. 8 sacks as a team against the Raiders. Now you might even have an easier matchup with this offensive line, right? This quarterback is not mobile. Eli Manning is as statuesque as they come. If you're rushing 4 tonight and you're going to drop 7, you've got to get home. We know Buckner can get home. We know if you get Ronald Blair and Cassius Marsh in there, they've made plays. But if you're Thomas and Armstead, if you can't make plays tonight, if you can't be impact players tonight, I wonder what this team can do with those 2 guys moving forward.
No question. This is that water game.
this is that game that the coaches and players say, you want to get across that water? This is it. This is where Buckner says, I want him to get across that water. You know, the guys see him laying on the ground and act like they're going swimming. That's that Pro Bowl. This is that PB.
It's that water. I was wondering where you're going. That's pretty good.
Yeah, it's that game that you know. I like that. You know when you're playing, I remember like, all right, I'm playing. We playing the Raiders.
You're playing to get across the water.
We're playing the Raiders tonight. I'm getting across that water against these boys. And that's when LT would go off. Is, let's eat, Daddy. Let's eat. Get on my hip and don't dip. Let's get to the promised land. That's what you do. Certain games, you look at your schedule, especially when you're playing well, and you're like, hey, it's close, and you're thinking about, hey, how am I going to separate myself to get across that water? This is that game tonight that Buckner can get across the water.
Nice. Nice little uptick. Subtle uptick there as well.
That was strong.
I really like that.
The only, and I hate to be the guy to bring it up, but
good luck countering that.
Games in Orlando this year, so you don't really have to get across the water.
I don't know. I like that so much, though. I'm going to score that. And for you to rain on that really brings a damper to the end of the segment.
Sorry. Yeah. That hurts.
It's like I don't even know where to go now.
maybe we tease BT. Oh, it didn't show up. Guy, former member of the station, a guy can't even show up. He's about to get buried on Twitter.
He's a Jets fan, so, you know, they're licking their wounds this morning.
Wow.
I see a lot of people, we didn't even give out the number, a lot of people on hold regarding the Eli as Hall of Famer. We'll take your calls next. Let's talk some Monday Night Football. 888-957-9570. 888-957-9570. A chance for the billions to become famous by joining us on the airwaves. Next, here on 95.7 The Game.
Joe Lowe and Dibs continues on 95.7 The Game.
Joe Lowe and Dibs, great to have you with us on this Monday. Jerry Rice will join the program at 8 o'clock as we get set for Monday Night Football. The final primetime game for the Niners this season, unless the league decides to flex them into a Sunday night game. Don't rule out the possibility, although you can probably rule out the possibility. Still have a couple primetime games coming up with the Raiders, though. Got a feeling that Raider-Pittsburgh game might be moved out of the Sunday night slot.
Man,
you're wrong.
Maybe just eradicated altogether. We've already given Pittsburgh the win.
Wow.
Pittsburgh's cruising after that Thursday nighter. And then you can't flex the Raiders out of that.
You know, Anna,
Bronco
when you laugh,
you've
got to turn your mic on. Go ahead, Jumps.
Going scorched earth today.
I was just laughing to myself. I was writing something.
You're laughing at your own material.
No. I was laughing at you guys.
Well, no, the point is if you were laughing at your own stuff, then having the mic off is completely understandable. But if you're laughing at content on the show, what's the rule on that?
You got to have the mic on, yeah.
So you got to throw the flag there.
Oh, that's.
I was trying to bail you out.
Okay,
he helped you.
I know, but I was just trying. You know, I was just saying you guys are funny. That's all.
Don't go overboard. Don't you dare go overboard. You know as well as everyone does, the show is not that funny.
Retract.
Raj in Santa Clara. Raj, thank you for the phone call. Your thoughts on Monday Night Football. We want to hear from everybody today. 888-957-9570. Raj, what's up?
Yeah, I'm excited for the game tonight. You know, I went to the last home game and they won, and I'm hoping, you know, hopefully Mullen shows up pretty well, and hopefully they can still get a running attack.
What do you think tonight? You think the Niners pull this one off?
I think they pull this one off. I mean, I think they have this is a good situation for them. I think there's a good chance for them to win two games in a row. And then, you know, maybe the Mullins train kind of gets a little more steam after, you know, two straight wins.
All right. Appreciate the phone call. It'd be the worst time ever to go on the bye. It's one of the things gamblers in Vegas track. Teams that are playing really well and then they get their bye week. Most would say, oh, man, you get your rest, you get 2 weeks to get ready. Uh-uh. Sometimes that ruins the, quote, momentum so many people like to talk about.
Right. I think it just depends on where you are as a team as it pertains to injuries and guys who might be able to come back healthy and help you coming out of the bye. But this 49er team, it's such a mystery because you got your third-string quarterback on the field. You've got your second and third-string running back. You're down to your third and fourth wide receiver. So unless you get some regular guys back coming out of the bye week, I think what you're saying is accurate, that the bye probably would come at a bad time for the Niners if they play well again tonight and win.
Do you realize tonight they're going to be favored for the fourth time this year? How the hell did this outfit get end up as a favorite four times? It would have been five if there wouldn't have been the massive shift in the odds when Beathard got switched over to Mullins for the last game against the Raiders. They've been favored four times, or 3.5-point favorites tonight.
And you think about the games in which they were favored and they lost, both Arizona games, I believe.
Arizona's won, the other Arizona. And can anyone remember the other time they were favored? They did win, they did not cover. It was?
Detroit.
Detroit.
Had to be Detroit.
Motor City.
Jimmy G, right? That was back in the Jimmy G days.
That was back in the Garoppolo era.
Man, and remember those days?
And the thing about
not really.
Hardly. Short-lived.
They got two wins now. It should have had two against Arizona, but they didn't. So that'd be four. You think about where they're at. That'd be
four and five coming into this game if they'd beaten Arizona. We'd be talking playoffs.
Right. And tonight you could pick up five, so you'd be sitting here. You know, look at their record where they're. And then Tampa Bay.
Damn, you're right. You beat Arizona, you could be 5-5 tonight.
Right. I'm telling you, this team's still going to win 5 to 6 games. They're going to win. I still think they're going to be right there.
Oh, you think they're going to get to five wins?
No, probably six.
You think the Niners are going to get to 6 wins?
5 to 6 wins, yeah. Jimmy gave them 2 extra wins. I had them winning 7 to 8 games with Jimmy.
All right.
And now I'm just taking it off 2, so it's 5 to 6 games. He was only going to win you 2 more games.
That doesn't say a whole lot for that contract if he's only worth 2 more wins out over Beathard and Mons. Here's what you've got left. Win tonight, you've got 3. Then you got your bye. You're at Tampa. They found a way to roll up 500 yards
that's
yesterday
crazy.
With 3 points.
It's crazy.
Has that ever happened?
I don't think so.
You think Tampa's going to beat them?
What to make of that one.
I
say we go on a road trip, though.
Yeah,
Tampa's a good time.
Mom's Venus.
We'll call your boy All-Stop. We'll get some reservations at the Island Way Grill.
Let's do it.
One of my favorite spots in the country. All right, so you got Tampa. Do you see that as a potential win?
Yes.
All right, then you're at Seattle.
Probably not.
A loss.
Seahawks
probably
not. Are a decent team this year. All right, then you're hosting Denver.
Probably a win.
Woo. It's winnable at the very least.
Okay, that's the thing. Winnable.
Okay, it's winnable. As opposed to win a calf. Shout out Wayne's World.
That was nice.
All right,
nice.
Then you're going to host Seattle.
I think it's a winnable game, certainly.
Hopefully by that point, if Seattle is out of it, maybe they just overlook this game and they don't care. I don't know about beating Seattle if they need it.
Right, but you know what I'm saying? They're not going to quit. Something about that rival. Richard Sherman playing at home now, you know, here.
All right, then you're hosting Chicago. Week 16, the Chicago Bears, December 23rd.
Chicago doesn't scare you. So it depends if Chicago's playing for something or if they're resting guys.
Chicago's in charge of the NFC North.
They're large.
They're 3.5 point favorites over the Vikings next week.
They might be playing for a bye. So I think that game, seriously, the Bears might be, you know, in line. Maybe not a bye, but at least a home playoff game as a division winner. I think that's a game that 6 months ago we looked at as a win, obviously before Khalil Mack became a Bear. But now I don't know how winnable that is because the Bears will be playing for something.
But Mitchell Trubisky on the road, you'll have an advantage there. And then you'll close it, and this could be huge. You'll close it at L.A. to play the Rams. Your best bet there is the Rams sitting everybody because they're already done.
Right.
Seriously, that's probably going to be your best bet because you're probably not going to win that game.
Right.
All right. So you could see 3 more wins in that. You beat the Giants tonight. You get the 3. Tampa Bay.
Give me Denver,
Seattle, Chicago. 3 in a row at home. You'd probably have to grab 2 there, or the Rams would have to sit everyone.
Right. Well, you can see Tampa. You can see Denver. Those are the Giants. If those 3, think about it. Those 3 right there, you can see that happen. That's not being far-fetched.
That gets you to 5, and then you'd have to get one of the Seattle wins and or get the Rams to lay down for you in Week 17.
Right, and one of the Seattle wins. But I just gave you the ones right now that you would say, I can't bet that game. You couldn't bet them. You couldn't say, oh, for sure that the Tampa Bay is going to win.
You know what? You make a good point. Whether it's 5 or 6, if you get to either, that says a hell of a lot about what you're doing as a team versus some of the other bottom feeders. Seriously, would you rather be the Niners or would you rather be the Jets?
Oh, Niners.
Would you rather be the Niners or the Bills? Bills had a huge win. I get that.
But against the Jets, you're right.
Do I get Matt Barkley? Because that may sway it.
Yeah, his first game action in 2 years.
How do you lose to that guy? Well, you didn't have a chance to game plan for him, Coach. There wasn't any tape on him going back 2 years, so.
They're 5-4, but would you rather be the Niners or the Bengals?
Oh, the Niners.
Think about it. At least with the Niners, you can dream a little bit.
Right. The Bengals aren't never going anywhere. Hell, they just fired other coaches, and they never fired Marvin.
Fired their defensive coordinator, Terrell Austin.
Yeah.
So I would say problem solved.
Marvin's like a cat. He's got 9 lives. Marvin Lewis, what is he? I mean, come on. They can't even win in the playoffs. Every year
Marvin Lewis is J. Edgar Hoover.
Oh, my God.
He got dirt on the Brown family.
Yes.
It's more, I was thinking more like Walking Dead because he's like a zombie. He's unkillable. You can't get rid of him.
Yeah.
I mean, forget 9 lives. He's lived more than 9 lives as a cat.
He is.
Coach, the only head coach in the NFL who's longer tenured is Bill Belichick.
Right.
The two coaches who have had their jobs the longest are Bill Belichick and Marvin Lewis.
Marvin thought he was getting fired, and they said, come back. He tried to get out, and they brought him. They like,
yeah.
they
get out.
He thought it was all over last year, and they were like, no, we want to give you an extension.
What happens if he actually wins? Do they get rid of him?
I don't know how you can.
I mean, let's think about it. All the losing leads to extension. So what happens if you end up in the Super Bowl? We can't have this.
No.
This is Cincinnati.
He's got to go.
You're out of here.
It's bizarre.
We're going to eat the rest of the contract.
Right.
Would you rather be the Niners or Jacksonville? Serious question. They were in the AFC Championship game last year. If you were an owner and you got to buy one of those two teams and the price was exactly the same, who would you rather buy right now?
You would rather buy the 49ers because that Jacksonville
team.
Jacksonville's in a free fall without a quarterback of the future and without a head coach. And you've got a defense that is getting older by the day and doesn't look like it's a very unified group.
Give me Jacksonville.
You'd rather be Jacksonville still?
I just know I'm one player away. I'm one player away from being a legitimate Super Bowl contender. The Niners aren't. And you know that, and we all talk about it.
But the Niners have that player in that position. They feel, at least. You look at Jimmy Garoppolo, and you feel like you have a guy who you can roll with at least for the next couple years and feel good about it. Jacksonville, you got a big question mark at quarterback.
If you're buying stock, that's basically the question. Right, if you're buying stock, would you rather buy Niners stock or would you rather buy Giants stock?
Oh, I would definitely Niners.
Would you rather buy Niners or Cowboys?
With me, I'd still rather have Cowboy stock right now.
Interesting. Who knows? Garrett may have saved his job. That win last night probably is going to cost you next season.
Yeah, but
because you're stuck with the carrot.
Yeah.
But you got to realize there is still some young talent on that team.
Sure.
They're not far away. So Carrot might be fired. So you're saying exactly what you're saying though. You're saying, do I trust that? Do I rather with the stock in just that team and the players? I can get rid of Carrot and still, I think they can be better teams.
Yeah, but if you buy that team, you have to hope that someone's going to get rid of Carrot. If Carrot's coaching this team 5 more years, you're not going anywhere.
You buy that stock and you get all the Joneses. Yeah. You get Jarrah and you get his various kids.
Okay, I'm Niners on that one. Would
you rather buy Niners stock or Lions stock?
Oh, my God.
See, this is insane. The Niners are a bad football team. Let's be honest. They're not a good team. You're not going to put them up against the Saints, the Rams, the Chiefs, the Patriots, and yet somehow you'd still rather take them over how many of these teams? You'd rather take them over Tampa, would you not?
Without a doubt.
You'd probably take them over Arizona?
You would.
Oh, yes.
You would.
Even though Arizona beat them twice?
Twice.
So that says something about your head coach at the very least. That's the comfort you can take into tonight's game against the Giants. As bad as it may seem, as a Niner fan this year, it really isn't that awful. That's why I lay this out time and time again. You are not competing against 31 NFL teams. Take, for example, the Saints. Saints look fantastic, right? How many teams are the Saints really competing against right now? First and foremost, you can forget everyone in the AFC except for the team that wins the AFC. The rest of them you don't have to worry about because they're not going to be in your way. So that's one team you have to worry about. Now, you're not going to worry about yourself. So that's another one you can rule out. So you've got 15 teams in your conference and then the AFC winner. That gives you a grand total of 16 teams you need to worry about. But let's work our way around the division.
Rams.
Or the conference. Do you have to worry about the Lions?
No.
Do you have to worry about the Buccaneers?
No.
Do you have to worry about the Falcons?
No.
Do you have to worry about Arizona or San Francisco?
No.
Right like that. Right there. You're now only worried about 10 teams. It's you and 10 teams that you have to worry about to get to the, to win the Super Bowl. It's not... Anyone who thinks it's that hard to just put a competitive product out there, it really isn't. That sounds so arrogant to say, but it really isn't. Every year, you're going to be given 3 or 4 teams that are just straight up dysfunctional. Teams like the Raiders, teams like the Browns, who for years have just been unable to figure it out. Teams like Tampa Bay, you're going to get 3 or 4 of those. Then you're going to get a couple contenders, perceived contenders, that fall on tough times. Those are teams like Atlanta this season. Those are teams like the Green Bay Packers, who, maybe you worry about Aaron Rodgers, but by and large, you don't.
Philadelphia is another team. It's falling on some hard times.
The entire NFC East. Are you really concerned about the entire?
No.
Washington is 2 games clear. You think Washington gets into the playoffs and makes any noise? No.
They're not scaring anybody, but they're going to win the division at 10-6, and they're going to be a first time out. They're going to lose the wild card team.
Exactly. And then you've got teams like Cincinnati and Miami and Tennessee, who every year it's the same thing. Maybe they kind of threaten, but they're not legitimate. That's what the NFL is. You don't need to construct a team to beat 31 teams. You need to construct a team that can get a wild card spot, and then boom, from there you can make it rain. Right now, we're only talking about 4 actual teams that can contend.